Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Tell your smart speaker to play 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
So easy to listen on my smart speaker.
Yeah.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey, Wichita. Jacob Allfront. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next exclusively on 97.5. And 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. Come to find out, what was supposed to be a boring first round of the NFL draft actually did provide some drama. And nowhere more so than when the Rams took Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson at number 13 overall. I have immense respect for the Rams and the elite partnership of GM Les Snead and head coach Sean McVay, two of the best in the business who always seem to be in lockstep. Until last night, because if body language means anything at all, McVay seemed to hate that pick as much as Snead loved it. Maybe I'm way out of line, or maybe that was way too big of a reach at 13 for LA. And while Snead deserves the benefit of the doubt, it certainly doesn't help that he has a very close relationship with the Simpson family and allegedly helped advise them as to whether or not Simpson should come out. So if McVay is actually as bent as he looks, he has every right to be, especially since they're in it to win it right now and Simpson gives them absolutely nothing this year. I'm Jim Rome. And remember, you can follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Jim Rome here. How do I reward Janet as the best mother ever on Mother's Day? Well, with the best gift ever, Aura Frames. Your photos actually look like real prints, and there are fun interactions, and then you can frame instantly from anywhere, plus smart photo cropping. Absolutely amazing. Save on gifts that moms love at AuraFrames.com, and for a limited time, get $25 off the Carver Mat Frame with code Rome, R-O-M-E. Support the show by mentioning the Jim Rome Show at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. AuraFrames.com, code Rome.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
Stand by for action.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Eunice, meanus, usness, weenus, yournus, minus, ourness, happiness. And now I'd like to hear where your head is at.
It's become one of my favorite games. Do I know the reference in the drops that Max puts in the intros? That one, I did not. Welcome into Sports Daily. I know a lot of you out there probably do. Jacob Albrock here. Paul Savage in for us again here. Having fun. Having the big man in here. Good timing around the NFL draft to have the old ball coach in on the show for the next few days. Glad to be here with you. Every way that you listen to the show. KFH. Is that place, 869-1240. We want to hear your thoughts on the draft. I assume particularly about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now have it put in the books. We'll take your calls on it. We'll take your commentary via Facebook, YouTube, and X, where you can find the video stream of the show, as well on 12 News Connected. You can also listen to us, of course, on the Odyssey app and leave us your voice messages there. We've got the draft to talk about. We've got the Kansas City Royals suddenly streaking after a big comeback win on a wacky, wild weather affected Sunday, but they get it done. And now all of a sudden they did exactly what we said they kind of had to do. Okay, are we cooking a little bit here? We'll discuss it. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring Caddy Snack, Wichita's golf beer. Caddy Snack Blonde Ale, refreshingly crushable, makes the perfect pairing from the first tee to the 19th hole, no matter the score. Caddy Snack reminds you to beer the ball. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Paul, how are you this morning? Are you recovered from the draft? From so many picks, so many players, so much coverage. It's a massive event. It falls off a cliff, I think, after Thursday and Friday. But you know what we know over the years, a lot of great picks get made late in this thing. And it's a fun event. I love the draft. I'm glad we're through it, and now we can look forward to all these players.
And it was a lot of fun. It's so massive. I'm not even sure you can take it all in while it's going on. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I can't comprehend everything that is going on. I can't comprehend what teams are thinking. I will say this. I kind of get what the Kansas City Chiefs did. We get to that, I see a plan. I see a plan executed. I see a plan that was stuck to. You know, help your defense, which I think if the Chiefs had not helped their defense, it would have been a sin. It would have been waste of a draft. But they helped themselves. The best I can tell, not bad. Not bad. And then the last three picks, help yourself with a little bit on with regards to offense. A running back, a wide receiver, a quarterback. You know, I even kind of get the quarterback, you know, pick. So, anyway, not bad. Not bad at all. Best moment, though, of the draft. What was your best? I've got a best moment. But before I say what it is, I would love to know
Naval Academy.
Attaboy.
Naval Academy.
That was mine, too. Yeah. That was just tremendous. Did you notice he came out and gave a salute? I thought that was
in the mirror
cool.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
look, you're not gonna beat that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was just. I was just gonna say the whole key to that for those that you know saw it and you know just kind of went through the TV set. You didn't pay that much attention to it. Is that this kid is a Pittsburgh native. He grew up a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. And all reports are, I mean, this is what everybody says, and obviously NFL teams don't waste draft picks. Number seven, do you waste number seven draft pick? No. You pick number seven draft pick just like he's going to be a starter on your football team. That's what you do. And by all reports, this kid's going to help this team. They'll find a spot for this kid on this football team. So that also was my best moment, and that was yours, and that makes total sense to me.
Listen, I don't know if Eli Heidenreich is going to make an NFL roster.
Yeah.
He was obviously there in person. The draft is in Pittsburgh. I absolutely do not care the reason for any of it. He's there. There's an expectation he gets drafted. Who knows if he's just invited there because he's a Pittsburgh native. But no matter what the scenario is, to show the moment for a kid and somebody, a young person who's, you know, willing to make the sacrifices that he's made, it's great. It's great. We should be looking for more opportunities to do things like that. I hope he does make the roster. Mm-hmm. Seventh round picks, you never know, Paul. The likelihood that they make and stay on a roster is not high anyway. So to get the Pittsburgh kid who is everything Pittsburgh, gone to the Naval Academy, has a chance just for this moment. If his entire career is the moment to walk across the stage at the draft and do that whole thing, it's incredible.
I'm pulling for him. Come on, let's go, Navy.
Well, yeah, everybody's pulling for him.
Sure, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right.
You know, we see those moments. It's great. It's great. And people like the pick. You know, as I looked, it's like, oh, let's see. You know, what kind of prospect was he? Was this a Pittsburgh paying a ton of respect to this kid? But no, he was generally considered a pretty good player from what I could tell that may have a chance to help somebody. So it was cool stuff. Yeah, I'm with you. That was the coolest moment. I mean, it's one I think that we're all seeing clips of. I don't know how many people were locked in the seventh round and saw it as it happened. But of course, we've all kind of seen it now. So that's just good stuff. There were a lot. There's all those kinds of, but those kinds of moments are everywhere. No matter the reason, like I say it all the time. I say it all the time. Who ever designed this and could envision this from the beginning? Like, it is such a great, like, setting up the cameras around the family, the seeing the selections, the reactions. I loved, Paul, did you see, and this goes all the way back to Thursday, we didn't talk about this. Did you see how angry Reuben Bain was? Probably because he fell to 15 and, right. You know, everybody's dancing around and happy and he's just mad as hell. Like, that's what a great moment. What a great moment. Everyone's like, oh man, maybe we should have taken him. Look at that. Look at that intensity.
Yeah.
Like all of it. They do. The draft is so cool. And look at how many people show up for it. We just saw this in Kansas City. 300,000-400,000 people.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
For names to be called on a piece of paper.
Right.
Paul, that's all we're doing there.
And the fun thing's going to be, I think it's going to be really interesting. Next year it's in Washington, D.C., if I'm not mistaken. But now, I heard somebody mention that the draft is going to be held on the Mall. Did I get that right? Is that correct?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either. I had heard that mentioned. Of course, we'll get all the, you know, the draft details as it gets closer. But I think that's just great. The year after the 300th birthday of the United States, and they're going to have the draft at
250th.
Right? No. Yeah. Right. And I just think it's going to be tremendous. I just think it's going to be.
I think so too. I mean, I think it's an interesting environment for it, for sure.
By the way, isn't it 300? It's 300.
No, we're 250, Paul. We're 250.
250.
I know it feels like you've been, you know.
Well, I remember when they signed the darn thing. Well,
1770 to 2020 is 250.
Okay.
Six. Yeah. 250 years of the great red, white, and blue. All right, let's send you out here, and then we'll dig into the draft on the other side. Let's send you out with a chance to win some free HTO, an iced tea on us here at Sports Daily. You can cash this in East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. All you have to do to win is enter the keyword T to 20357. That's the number. So you'll text the word T to the number 20357. That'll get you a chance to win. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Free iced tea. Try the all-new Sweet Paloma iced tea while you're in there. Or try the East Sider. If you go to the East Wichita location or the West Sider. Special Wichita-themed brews at the Wichita locations. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back. Let's dig into this Chiefs draft.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. It's a little slow on I-235 South heading onto K-96 East. Allow a few extra minutes there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. Will turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that in a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The standoff between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk isn't ending anytime soon. The Niners want something in return for him. I figured after the NFL draft they'd relent and let him go. It was the opposite. John Lynch says they're still taking calls. This feels like it could be the crumbling of the Niners. Not that they need to bend the knee to a disgruntled player, but holding a player hostage doesn't do a whole lot of good. It doesn't help winning. It just feels petty from Dende.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily. Who's excited about the draft? Now, we have to wait a long time for this thing to come back around, Paul. Does that make you sad at all?
Well, we've got a lot of football in front of us, and, you know, believe it or not, we'll be talking football on a good portion of the show before too long. I mean, look, we're almost to May, June, July. I mean, you get started in this stuff at least in July.
Summer things.
Sure.
You'll see these rookies.
Oh, yeah.
We are now, though, like post-draft. I don't know how fired up people get for, you know, the summer workouts. It's become probably a little less exciting for the Chiefs because everything has been so much the same from year to year. At least as far as like storylines, you know, if the Chiefs can make it through this without any offseason, I mean, off the field issues, that would be nice.
Oh, but, sweet.
And they had some right before the draft, of course. This is the slow time now of the football schedule right now for the next 2 months, probably till you get to training camp. So that part does make me sad sometimes, but I love the draft so much. And we have a lot to discuss here with the Chiefs over the next little while as we discuss their draft. So we talked the last time we talked, Paul, we went through Mansoor Delane,
right,
and Peter Woods. That was, as you look more back, you know, after it happens, we talked about this Friday. It's like, okay, like they clearly loved this player. They were aggressive in getting him. They've evaluated corners very well over the years. Okay. I think initially for me, it was like, but they're so good at finding corners later in drafts that they can use. And I think that rubbed the shine a little bit, but it became pretty clear that he wasn't going to fall past both New Orleans and Washington. They made the move they needed to make to go get the player they love the most. So now, though, now that you see the totality of the draft, they get a defensive lineman. They go very defensive heavy, Paul. Their first four picks on defensive players. And then they go back at the end and, you know, they add some depth pieces. Emmett Johnson's an interesting player for Nebraska. I think people probably know who he is, but he's a workhorse, gives him some depth back there. You kind of like that. And then, you know, at Cyrus Allen, I'm not sure if he has staying power. We'll see. But Garrett Nussmeier, Paul, you like the pick. Hell, I don't even know if he'll make the roster.
Well,
you got Justin Fields on the team now.
Yep.
Maybe he's a practice squad guy. As far as he goes, if you're a seventh round pick, you'd probably just as soon not get drafted as a quarterback and pick your spot. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good spot to go.
Yeah.
With Mahomes and the Chiefs constantly looking for backup quarterbacks. Justin Fields isn't the long-term answer at backup quarterback. So that was pretty interesting. But it's all about those defensive picks. We said it all offseason long, Paul. The Chiefs are going to have to attack defense because they're losing so much on the defense over the years. And we're not convinced that in recent years, some of the resources they've spent on that side of the ball are going to pan out and turn into really good players. You know, they've identified a lot of offensive players that they get maybe a little later that end up being really good players. But outside of corner, it's been a little tougher, most specifically along that defensive line, to find guys that, you know, will stick and be him high impact players. Well, they take two of them in the top 40 picks that they, you know, they need to see something out of. Everybody on the planet loves Peter Woods, as you read about it. We told you Friday, like, people were calling him one of the best players coming into this draft. R. Mason Thomas is interesting. I'll tell you that Pete Prisco, I think people know who Pete Prisco is, called him his best player on the, I forget, what does he call it? He calls his guys that aren't the headliners better than team. I don't know if you ever read his draft coverage. His better than team. This guy was the captain of that. Basically, better than where he'll be drafted. And so he likes him. I haven't seen anybody that doesn't like him. Obviously, he goes to Oklahoma. He's going to be a high pedigree guy. He had the nickname of the closer, which meant he was big in big spots for them. So they spend a ton of resources on the defense. They get another corner out of it too. He was the fourth, Jaden Canaday, Oregon, the corner. But here's the reality, Paul. They had a plan, and I think they executed it. Warren Sharp, he does all kinds of football data and analytics. He had a chart and some way to, you know, put it together as far as draft capital and like gave it like a numbering system. The Chiefs spent the most draft capital on defense, according to his data, in this draft. And that's what they needed to do, I think. You know, that there were some offensive opportunities. They could have drafted a receiver. They could have done all of those things. But the reality is, to be competitive next year, Paul, it needed to be defense. They need three guys to be able to be starters on this defense to, you know, to sort of make up from it. And I think they have a pretty good opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And I'm with you also that the first half of this draft was exactly what the Chiefs needed. And I haven't talked to anybody in my circles about this that have said, gosh, I just think they went a little heavy on defense. How about grabbing maybe an offensive lineman or something, you know, get something on the offense. No, I've not had anybody. Everybody's with you, Jacob. I guess I should say everybody's with you and me, because I also believe that all the picks were supposed to be where they were. Now, my one question, of course, is our Mason Thomas. You know, and there's always that question mark in the back of your mind. Is this the right pass rush guy? Is this the guy that's for real? Because stats-wise, I mean, he's up there. And I think he had, a total of 14, maybe it was eight or 14. I had the number. I've seen so many stats.
I'm over 2 years, maybe 14.
Maybe it was 2 years. But anyway, and does it seem like a lot? Well, no, but he's a pressure guy, and we'll just see. That's always a tough place. Defensive end, rush edge. That kind of guy is always hard to judge. Always hard to know coming out of a draft, is this the guy? Is this Lawrence Taylor? Is this somebody like that? Now, granted, Lawrence Taylor was exceptional, and he was exceptional in college as well. You could almost tell with that guy, but that's just the example I'm giving. But I thought that the first day of picks were pretty darn good, and Jaden Kennedy out of Oregon I thought was a good pick. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the middle of the fourth round. That's not a bad pick for safety. And just, I think it was on Friday, it was either Thursday or Friday, we talked about the importance of a safety. How corners get the headlines, right? Corners get all the publicity. What rated corner is going to go where? Who's going to take this rated corner? He's the best. He's second best on the board, this corner. But you and I talked, I believe it was on Friday, about just how important safety is. Safety's darned important. Safety save a lot of touchdowns.
We'll get to that later when we talk about picks we really like.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I don't know if our Mason Thomas is going to be able to come into the NFL and have a great sack total. Don't know.
Don't know.
But I'll tell you, you know, it's really for me, and the reason I'm starting to really like this draft. Again, caveat, asterisk to every draft ever. We overthink the draft, right?
Yeah, we do.
We look, because it's so much fun, into the strategy. And the reality is, it, at least for me, I go out of you know, we get to this point after the draft, and or we're looking back in history, and I think, boy, if a team comes away with three starters for 5-6 years on their team out of any one particular draft, they had a pretty damn good draft.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
You know, like, that's the positions and all of that. We get very caught up in the moment of it. But the reality is, you're just trying to acquire the most best players. And so as I look back at their draft now, I mean, there feels like a very high likelihood that Mansoor Delane is at least a starter for this team for a long time. What's his ceiling? Is his ceiling as good as Trent McDuffie? All of those things. We'll find out. But everybody's favorite corner in the draft is probably at least going to be a serviceable starter at minimum in this league for a while, right? So
right.
There's one. I mean, and he's going to be a starter next year. He doesn't have a choice. Like, he's going to be a starter.
No choice. So, I like that.
So that part of it's like, okay, you know, they didn't reach on anything. They could have taken receiver and gone that road, but that doesn't give them the best chance in 2026. It's going to be a problem probably in 2027. We'll see what Xavier Worthy does this year. But again, I can't imagine a scenario where Rashee Rice is a receiver on this team in 2027. He'll be too expensive. He's got the off-the-field stuff. Very good player. But they're okay with running the receiving room back this year. I am too. Peter Woods is the guy, Paul, for me. And you brought up our Mason Thomas. Our Mason Thomas has a great chance. I think... those edge rushers, Paul, you got to just like, it's not always the college production as much as it is the pedigree, right? Like the measurables feel. That's why I said it's hard to get them. Like the measurables on those guys feel as important as any position. How much can their ankles bend? Like all that weird stuff. Like that's one of the more physically translatable positions I think that there is. So we'll see. It's the Peter Woods pick that is making me really like this draft as a whole. Because if you like, the more you read up, the more you look into it, the physical traits he has remind you of, man, Chris Jones is just so physically imposing. Peter Woods has that kind of size. But like to go back to this time last year, as everybody's looking ahead and too early, you know, 2026 draft prospects and all that, he's on everybody's list. Everybody loved this guy. And he wasn't not productive at Clemson. He just wasn't as productive. And he plays a position maybe that pushes you down a little bit. But you go back, you see the tape, you know, like, oh, look, people are showing him not only create a ton of pressure up the middle, but from time to time, he did line up outside.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the Chiefs line depth. Now, they're going to be probably 7 or 8 deep along the defensive line, Paul, and that's worked really well.
Right.
For, you know, that's a trend now. We know the league loves to follow trends. Like, it's a copycat league. That's the trend right now. Seattle had one of the better defensive lines in all of football last year. And if you went and asked football fans, not just, you know, people that you asked football fans, how many Seattle Seahawks defensive linemen can you name me? It ain't going to be very many for most people because it was a lot of different guys and they just were a great collection of players. And so I think the Chiefs are going after a little bit of that. But if you go and you think about the pressure that could, in theory, come up the middle for the Chiefs and Woods and Jones, man, that's going to make it tricky for quarterbacks.
Yeah, you
that's
like going that.
To make that's going to make George Karloftis and whoever's starting on the other side get a lot of opportunities for sacks as those quarterbacks have to bail.
Yeah.
That's going to let Steve Spagnuolo, corner blitz his new prize rookie and try to pick up sacks that way.
Right.
So, you know, are they going to have a defensive end that comes in and has 16, 17 sacks this year? I doubt it. Are they going to be as deficient in rushing the passer collectively as they have been the last few years? That's where I like this draft. They attacked pass rush, even though they couldn't get the defensive end and the corner that they loved. They mm-hmm. went corner. They found other ways to perhaps create that pass pressure. That's why I like it, I think, as a whole. You know, I don't think I'm giving it like some kind of A-plus or something. And I don't do a lot of that anyway, but I'm satisfied with the draft. I'm happier with this draft than I was last year. I'll tell you that. This is probably the draft I feel the best about since 2022. I think.
Okay.
I wasn't totally sold on the mm-hmm. Worthy pick. I mean, I like that he's fast, but you know, he's got to still show us a lot.
Yeah.
But this has a chance to be a real safe, comfy retool, rebuild draft, which more than anything else the Chiefs needed to do. They had to rebuild the defense. Can you imagine, Paul, where this team that was 6-10 last year because of Mahomes' injury, but fell short, you know, offensively for a while. Imagine where these Chiefs teams would have been if they didn't boast one of the league's best defenses each of the last 3 years.
Right, right.
And they needed to retool that mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. And let me tell you where you have really, really kind of opened my eyes to this draft pick at number first round 29th pick with Peter Woods out of Clemson. And one of the things that I'll say about him, you know, sometimes interior linemen, you know, it's rough being an interior lineman. Why is that? Jacob, what is the one position that is the easiest on the football field? It doesn't matter what position it is. What is the easiest position to double team? What would be an interior?
Chris Jones.
Hell, it would be an interior defensive lineman. That's the easiest place to double team. And anytime you have a guy like Peter Woods, do you not think he's getting schemed a little bit? You don't think that teams will scheme him? He's good enough to warrant being schemed, and I think that is the case. And so, you know, I have come around to this pick. You have made sense to me a little bit. For once. That for once was uncalled for. I apologize for that. But you've made sense to me on this pick. I kind of poo-pooed it a little on Thursday. I thought, But I'll tell you what, as the weekend has gone through, I'm thinking to myself, you know something? Jacob is right on a couple of these things with regards to Peter Woods. I've got to give this new thought fresh. I got to give it fresh eyes to look at it in a picture of totality. I needed to do that, and you made me do that.
Well, we needed to see the rest of the draft. There's no question about that. And I don't. And look, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm evaluating Peter Woods. I'm not evaluating. I'm just trying to evaluate where the Chiefs were headed with this. I've learned more about Peter Woods well after he was drafted, Paul, because I don't do that anymore. I don't scout all these players. But what I can tell you is the people that I follow that do really like that player.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I follow them for a reason. I kind of trust their evaluations. They really like the player. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they really like the player.
Yeah.
I'm just beginning to understand, and we see it through the rest of the draft, why the Chiefs might make that with a first round pick when they had, you know, defensive tackle, Paul, as we were looking at draft needs, wasn't in the top four. And they make that pick and you're like, huh, boy, they could have taken a wide receiver there, which we know they need pretty badly. They still at that point hadn't taken an edge rusher, which we know they need desperately. An offensive lineman has always been on the board, but they didn't take one in the entire draft. Tells you they feel pretty good about what they've got, which I'm comfortable with. You know, we all are. They just kind of put a lot of smoke in the air on that one. So you go through those things of perceived needs and you're like, defensive tackle. Okay. Some people did think that was a need. I didn't think it was as much a one because they drafted Omar Norman Lott last year and you kind of still hope he's relevant, but I think they will. I think they'll rotate these guys in. It'll be good for Chris Jones.
Right.
But you get in and you're like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Then you start to see people's evaluations of the player. Mm. And I have always been a proponent of throw needs out the window and take the best players that you can take for the most part. And I think that's clearly what the Chiefs did early in this draft. They just went and they took their best players. And I'm happy with that. Now you got to get your evaluations right. But they obviously thought Mansoor Delane was the best player at that point. They traded a third round pick to move up three spots. And that third round pick was a high third round pick. Mm-hmm. 74, I think it was. Like that's a big time pick.
Sure.
Or which what is that right? 74 is that? Yeah, 74.
That's a starter. That should be a starter. No question. Absolutely.
So it's okay. They clearly like that player. It's Spags evaluating a corner. Mm-hmm. We'll trust that.
Right.
We'll trust that one. And then they just continued to do that. And then they got Armason Thomas. So they got their edge rusher a little bit later. But, like, are we going to dissect the difference in Armason Thomas and Falk out of Auburn?
I don't know. No.
So you got to trust it. But I think they got two players early on that everybody loves. And I think they attacked the defense in general. So I like the Chiefs draft. What do you think? 869-1240. Let us know. What about the rest of the draft? Who else did a nice job? Who else do we think helped themselves be a contender next year? We'll talk about that on the other side.
Sports Radio KFH.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. For a slowdown on I-235 South heading onto K-96 East, allow a few extra minutes there. And there's construction further east on K-96 at the I-35 exchange. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. Will turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that in a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And this is Above the Noise. The Rams are operating like a team on the brink, with the Super Bowl window still open for L.A. Armed with the number 13 pick acquired from Atlanta, the expectation was simple. Add a difference maker who can help you right now. Instead, they looked ahead. In one of the more surprising moves of the draft, the L.A. Rams selected Ty Simpson out of Alabama, a QB who will not see the field anytime soon with Matthew Stafford still leading the offense. On the surface, it feels counterintuitive. A win-now roster using a premium pick on a future piece. But the draft is far more complex than that. Simpson walks into a situation most young quarterbacks never get. A franchise with stability, no pressure to succeed right away, and perhaps most importantly, the opportunity to learn a system designed by Sean McVay. It may not help the Rams today, but when it comes to building offense, McVay has earned the benefit of our doubt. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Two words, prostate exam. Relax. Screening starts with a simple finger-free blood test. Around 1 in 8 men in the United States will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. Prostate cancer can have over a 99% 5-year relative survival rate when caught at a localized or regional stage. If you're 40 or over and have a prostate, visit relaxitsabloodtest.com to see if a PSA blood test is right for you. Talk to your doctor about screening and the next steps. Sponsored by Novartis. When money's tight and you're behind, it can be tough to play catch-up. But Liberty Mutual can help you make a comeback, a fourth-quarter go-ahead drive, if you will. Liberty Mutual is clutch by customizing your car and home insurance to save you money, especially when you bundle. It's insurance built for real people with a team that works hard to help keep more of what matters most in your pocket, money. Liberty, 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 Liberty. Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local independent agent, Liberty Mutual.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Paul, did you have a good weekend?
I did. I had a great weekend, and as a matter of fact, I was planning, we were going over to Cabela's, and I was going to go out to HTO, and we'd ended up not going to Cabela's, so I didn't have a chance to get over. By the way, here's what I want from you. You sell these coffee cups at H2O, right?
Mm-hmm.
HTO, not H2O. But I need one of these for the show. Then every time I take a sip of coffee, you'll see our logo, won't you? Can I get one of those things?
I'll see what we've got in stock right now.
I think that would be great. That was my one big request.
I think we have some free reign coffee cups, which is the kind of coffee we sell at HTO.
All right.
I'll look for a free reign coffee cup. I mean, try the free reign coffee, all the different brew house offerings.
Uh-huh. And I think that's tremendous. But anyway, I thank you for doing that for me. That was just the one thing. I just, because I mean, let's face it. I'm a fan of you guys. I mean, not just because it's you, because the darn product's so darn good. That's why. That's why I'm a big fan.
We'll check it out. HTO, come say hi. Say hi to my wife, I should say. All right, Paul, let's talk about some of the other teams in the draft. Who did you walk away and just think, man, that team got a lot better? That team's gonna have a chance now to be better than maybe we thought, or clearly better than they were coming into the draft. Jacob Rodriguez, who we talked a lot about, ends up going to Miami. I'm trying to think of, there wasn't a lot of star power in the draft after, Jaron Kanick out of Hayes, Paul, gets drafted by the Titans in the 7th round.
How about that?
Not sure if you saw that.
Was that kid a stud in high school or what?
And then changed positions, shades of Blake Bell, changes positions at Oklahoma, becomes a tight end, gets taken in the 7th round. You like his chance, right?
I think so. I do indeed.
You like his chance.
I do too.
The Jets, of course, the Jets had all that draft capital, Paul. I mean, it's hard not to look at it and say the Jets didn't improve the most. That should be what happens when you get three first-round picks. But I think, generally speaking, most people liked all the first-round picks. I love David Bailey. You love Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end. Omar Cooper Jr., one of the better receivers in this draft. There are a lot of people that love D'Angelo Pons, the corner out of Indiana. So that, you know, they end up with four picks inside the top 50 of this draft, Paul. And I think mostly none of them were reaches. Everybody thought they got good players. You know, it's funny. They also took one of our local guys too. They're the team that took VJ Payne, the safety out of K-State. They took him in the seventh round. Two K-State guys, two KU guys were drafted. And I'll tell you all those details in just a second real quick. But, Paul, the Jets, I think, pretty hard to say the Jets didn't just get a whole lot better. I don't know how much better that's going to mean as far as wins and losses, but they got more talented, didn't they?
I think they did. No, I think you're exactly right. And, of course, that was almost built in from the beginning. We thought we knew who those draft picks were going to be, and it pretty much held. I think one of the teams – now, everybody's talking about Cleveland and what they did in this draft, and I agree they did very, very well. Let's see if they can put it to use. But I would say that there's others that – you know, let me just say this. I'm not so sure that the Dallas Cowboys – didn't help themselves.
I was hoping you'd say it so I didn't have to and people roll their eyes at me.
No, I'm thinking, you know, now they had some needs. We know that those needs were mostly on the defensive side of the ball. And I think, I'm kind of thinking that they did help themselves. Caleb Downs is a good player. That's going to be a really good player for the Chiefs. And I'm thinking that the Chiefs may have helped themselves.
The
Cowboys. How say you? Are the Cowboys where I think they are when it comes to this draft?
Yeah, you know, it's funny I brought up that Warren Sharp comment. He has the chart on resources spent, and the Cowboys were the second, right behind the Chiefs, as far as most draft capital spent on the defensive side of the ball, which is exactly what they need. Dallas is kind of like Kansas City. They have so many needs on defense. This had to be the one. The difference between Dallas and Kansas City, though, is Dallas, to me, their window, they got George Pickens to sign his franchise tag.
Right, they did.
So assuming he'll play for them, their window is like right now this year. That's it. I don't think it's much longer than that, because I think they've not done a good enough job like Kansas City has as extending that out. They've got a lot of expensive players. But right now at this moment, their offense has a chance to be really good. We know that. They need to get a little bit better on the offensive line. They drafted a guy people like. Does he step in immediately in the fourth round? I wouldn't count on it. I think they're okay there. But they bring back, you know, they bring back Javonte Williams. They've got those two receivers. They've got a couple of good tight ends. The offensive line is okay. And Dak is Dak, right? We all know at this point with Dak Prescott, when he's got these weapons and he's got the time, he can be a really good quarterback. Is he the most clutch? Absolutely not. The problem is their defense was just absolutely dreadful last year. They make a coordinator change. The Caleb Downs pick is my favorite pick a team made in the draft, because of how badly the Cowboys just need a great defensive player. And he might have been the best player in this draft just playing that position. I think he's one of the handful of guys that you could look at and say, that's the best football player in this draft. Caleb Downs is awesome, and we've seen him be awesome for a long time. Against the best competition in college football, he's going to step into the NFL and be a great player. So they get that guy. Malachi Lawrence, we saw a little bit in the Big 12. I'm okay with it. You know, I think he's got a chance to be okay. But then they take a linebacker. And just the fact that, you know, a team that does typically draft pretty well in the Cowboys made all those picks on defense makes me happy. The fact that Jerry Jones didn't get trigger happy and, you know, draft a punter or something. The fact that they trusted it. They have been a good talent evaluation team since they put Will McClay kind of in charge of that. Everyone thinks it's Jerry Jones making the big board. He might make the picks and give the final okay, but they've given that to Will McClay a long time ago. They've been a good drafting team, Paul, for a long time.
Right.
Most part. Mm-hmm. Now, when they get players and navigating free agency and contracts, they're horrible. But they've been a good drafting team. So if they can get, you know, some more talent on that side of the ball to the new defensive coordinator, Dallas, to me, is a team that walked into the draft, got in. When you talk about how much better did they get, I mean, in the wide open NFC, Philadelphia is about to trade away AJ Brown, we think. In that wide open NFC, doesn't Dallas feel like maybe the team that was kind of on the fringe of being a contender, that if they get those first two picks they made to be good players, Dallas is absolutely a contender in the NFC next year.
Here's what I like about their looking at this draft is
do I have fan shaded glasses on with that, or is that a reach, or is that accurate?
No, I think to a certain extent you're right. I mean, it's Dallas drafted, I thought, very well. Now, they know where they need to butter their bread if they want to have any success, and that's defense. Five out of their seven picks were defensive players. It reminds me a little of Kansas City, you know, where they go four and then three. I mean, that's makes sense to me. Now, they also know how important in this draft. And one thing you got to say, there's a little bit of realism when it comes to Jerry Jones. I know a lot of people think he lives in his own little world, but sometimes his own little world's right. And this is a case where Jerry Jones, his little world is right. And that, and by the way, Deshaun Barham is going to be one of those guys. I know he played a lot of linebacker in college, but they're looking at him at edge. They think if they can get some rush with him, that's going to be a bonus for them. And the fact is that they understand where the success, the great defenses have success, and that's if you can rush the quarterback, it changes everything in the course of a football game.
And they traded away Micah Parsons.
And they traded away Mike. They've got to come back in. So basically they're rolling the dice in this one draft saying, we're going to take three edge guys. We're going to get better on the edge. We're going to get better, and not only that, we want to make it our strong point, because we all know that anytime you press the quarterback and you get him out of the pocket or do whatever you got to do with him, you know, advantage to the defense. So I'm just saying, I brought up the Dallas Cowboys for one reason. Look what they did on defense. What was their need? Defense. And I like what they did
all across the board. It was an historically bad defense. Remember, they made some trades and some moves too. They have, and we talked about the Chiefs and the ability they'll have to bring pressure up the middle. The Cowboys may have the best pair of defensive tackles in football now that they've acquired post Micah Parsons. They just need some edge rush with it, but they needed help in the secondary. They got it in Caleb. They needed help everywhere. Their defense was awful. Well, I think Dallas and Kansas City are very different.
Okay.
Kansas City's trying to retool for the long haul.
Yeah.
Kansas City, you know, is going to be good for a long time, you think, because Patrick Williams and all these. I really do think Paul Dallas's window is slamming shut quickly. They had to get players that can, like, they make them better next year, or it's over for them. So with that kind of pressure, I'm with you. I thought they did a pretty good job. Couple of mentions here. Talked about BJ Payne there in the seventh round from K-State. Sam Hecht. We expected him to get drafted. He did, maybe a little later than we thought, but lands as an interior offensive lineman there to Carolina out of K-State. And then Kansas does end up getting two players. They also send a fifth-round offensive lineman, Enrique Cruz Jr. He ends up going to the 49ers. And then how about this fit, Paul? Emmanuel Henderson Jr., the speedster, goes to Seattle, where Rashid Shaheed lives. Not a bad spot, not a bad player to look at. He goes in the sixth round. So two KU guys, two K-State guys. That doesn't include everybody that now in successive days will sign their, you know, free agent deals,
sure,
or whatever.
There'll be some
and
deals.
Then we get Jaron Kanick in out of Hayes. I think that's all of them. If I missed any, listeners, if you know of another one, let me know. But yeah, we got a little bit of everything in this draft, Paul, including that local flavor, which we love so much. Of course, we look at the draft. It'll be defined largely by Daniel Mendoza. We saw what the Rams did on day one. Carson Beck, Paul. Carson Beck goes in this draft. Let's look real quick. We'll look at the quarterbacks, because we didn't Love this group. But Beck goes to Arizona. Probably has a chance to be the starter there at some point this year. He is the third quarterback taken in the third round. I don't think he's going to be any good in the NFL, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. How about this, Paul? Drew Aller, Penn State to the Steelers. They get the hometown guy. That was an interesting pick. Yes. Now you're going to have Will Howard, Drew Aller, and maybe Aaron Rodgers there. Okay. That one is interesting. Mm-hmm. The Clemson quarterback, Cade Klubnik, goes to the Jets. Cole Payton, who I don't think people know, North Dakota State, I certainly didn't, goes to the Eagles. You get the super athlete, Talon Green, the Arkansas quarterback, to Cleveland.
That's interesting,
Ethan,
by the way.
Kaliak Manis out of Rutgers goes. Baron Morton, Texas Tech. He's cousins with some of my family, Paul, like a cousin of a cousin.
No kid.
He goes to the Patriots, and then, of course, Garrett Nussmeier, which we mentioned, to the Chiefs. When we come back, we'll start things off. I want to ask Paul which of these guys has a chance to be an NFL starter for 2 to 3 years at minimum. We'll have that conversation. We'll talk Royals, who are streaking now. It's all coming on the other side. Another hour of Sports Daily coming your way.
Is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita, K248CY Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. For a slowdown on I-235 South heading onto K-96 East, allow a few extra minutes there. And there's construction further east on K-96 at the I-35 exchange. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. A mostly cloudy start to our Monday. Will turn mostly sunny, also breezy. Northwest winds 10 to 20 and gusty. All of that in a high of 75. Clouds return tonight. North winds and 45 is the low. Decreasing clouds but cool on Tuesday. High 66. We'll keep it in the 60s on Wednesday. Small chance of rain showing up on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The standoff between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk isn't ending anytime soon. The Niners want something in return for him.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radnor, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.